Tech, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are back on the beat after the 4th of July and into the hot summer months. And first things first, the Taharka ice cream. If you have not had the peanut butter cup, I did, and I've had the pleasure because it's now empty. You definitely, this is a top three flavor for me, probably with pistachio, as well as my favorite, Honey Graham. Peanut butter ice cream with mini peanut butter cups mixed in. Taharka, made in Baltimore, just like Baltimore Positive. Also, our friends at State Fair mixing up the shrimp and grits. I'm going to get over there very soon. We're going to be opening El Guapo across the street. I appreciate Evan Brown naming his Mexican restaurant after me, as well as Don Moeller. And also, Fadley's Crab Cakes. We're mailing them all over the world. You can go to Fadley's. We talked a lot about where those crab cakes come from in an episode of Baltimore Positive last month. You'll definitely want to check that out as well. And I had Jeff Moeller on. Don Moeller, I had your lad on. We talked about two and three quarter percent financing for homes and how homes are moving. Moeller and Gary Realty, all of our incredible sponsors. Don, I want to give you the floor because, like, we started this thing a year and a half ago, and you've been talking about having this next guest on from the very, very beginning. And honestly, between you and me, I think we had like 200 or 300 names of people we wanted to have on. We're now on to our 250th episode of Baltimore Positive, and we're still tracking down people that we wanted to have on from the very beginning, like Michael Steele the other day. I know this is a special one for you because this is where you get to turn the table, because all the reporters that have been interviewing you for two decades, now you get to go back and interview them.
Yeah, I mean, I think Pam Wood from the Baltimore Sun, as I joked off the air, has interviewed me 9,000 or so times, a little bit of hyperbole, but a lot of times, early in the morning, late at night, really one of the hardest working reporters in the state. And I've always said, Pam, not to embarrass you, I said, but one of the reporters that really did like to go toe-to-toe with my former boss and friend Kevin Kamenetz and County Executive Kamenetz, actually enjoyed working with Pam. He had one comment all the time, Pam, and, you know, he said, hey, look, Pam is smart. I have no trouble sitting down and going back and forth with reporters who are smart, because she's smart, it makes me think, and she'll get it right. So it's a pleasure. Pam, welcome to Baltimore Positive.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. That's quite a compliment. I really appreciate that.
Did he ever no-comment you, Pam? I just need to know before we get started.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, well, you know, this is fascinating for me in moving my brand into talking about your brand, right? Like, I covered sports forever. There are press conferences. There's off the record, on the record, important things, breaking news, you know, all of these things, and trades, for crying out loud, sports, that lead me to this. But the beat of covering politics and the beat of covering news and what politicians in the modern era would mask from reporters at the Baltimore Sun. Oh, like, you know, Healthy Holly. Let's just start there and move backwards, right?
Oh, goodness. That's a big one to start with.
Well, it's one thing to have a coach lie to me about the injury report on Sunday. I think it's a whole different thing. We're talking about public policy and who we trust and why we trust them. And just quite frankly, covering this White House as we're watching Weijia Yang and other people that have been around here try to cover on a daily basis.
Yeah, well, you know, with Healthy Holly, what's interesting is that was both to some degree totally known but totally unknown. Like, we knew she had written these books and would give these books out. We had copies in the Baltimore Sun newsroom, and we thought, oh, it's just this like side thing that's nothing. So, like, we knew they existed. We had no idea the University of Maryland Medical System was spending tons of money on these books, and people's business before the city were buying tons of these books, and she wasn't reporting the income on her disclosure form. So it was this quite interesting setup where it was, you know, we knew like 2%, and then it was the other 98% was where all the news was that we had to uncover.
Well, you don't get a gotcha moment at a press conference at that point, because if you say, hey, Catherine, you stealing money? No, of course not. You know, I mean, like, it really doesn't come in the framework of, hey, county executive, I have a few questions for you. This went above and beyond all of that, and I guess that's where the show, which reminds me a little bit of Putin, you know, quite frankly, in those press conferences that I've seen where they hold signs up like a WWF match, right, in Russia, and I know you know what I'm talking about, that these lawn proceedings down at the White House. I don't know what we glean from a modern press conference where we're not really doing reporting. You know, the real dirty work goes on, not where the American public sees it, where the press conference begins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, interestingly, the White House press conferences, which I'm not a party of, there's the way those roll out is almost a little bit more of a performative aspect that just the press conference itself and the back and forth and the questions become the news, sometimes less than the substance of what the information is that's coming out. It's just a little different at the state level with the governor or with the county executives or the mayor. Often our questions are about actually eliciting useful information and getting it out to our readers and our viewers. So there's this interesting disconnect of how it works on the national level, where, I don't know, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people watching these, and then these local press conferences where it actually is more about exchange of information and less about personality or gotcha.
Well, I think in the big picture, trust has become a thing, right? I mean, and Don, I'll let you in on this anytime you want. You're allowed to interview her at this point, but the trust part of this is...
I am going to ask Pam a question, and I want her to be... Yeah, I know she will be. I want her to be honest about it. I don't know that we've ever discussed this, Pam, but it is a topic that interests Nestor, and that is you and the other reporters at The Sun who covered county government in my, you know, 18 or 20 years on that side of the aisle. You know, certainly everything wasn't always a bowl of cherries. I mean, we didn't always see eye to eye, but my sense was that in working with Sun reporters, TV reporters, you name it, radio reporters, that while we didn't always see eye to eye, we did recognize that everybody had a job to do, and I never felt at any point that anyone in our government was trying to mislead the press. Were we trying to put our best face on it? Absolutely. But I never at any moment felt that we were trying to mislead the press. Now, feel free to say, Don, that's a bunch of stuff, or yeah, Don, I think that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's always hard for me to know what's going on in the brains of the elected official or their communication staff. And as a journalist, we're always looking for what's not being told to us. And, you know, there's been a few times in my career, various people do flat out lie. Other times they just carefully leave out information and, you know, try and shape the narrative that way. So, you know, understandable that... whether it's an elected official, a business executive, you know, somebody who's up there is going to try and shape the story as best they can. That's kind of the nature of it, and both sides know how it goes. But very rarely in my career have I been completely misled. It's just more like people don't want to answer the questions if it's going to come out badly.
Chatting with Pamela Wood, politics reporter at the Baltimore Sun and longtime coverer of all things Don Mueller inside government and county executive. And you chuckle at that. But, you know, for all of this and how much this has changed. And, Pam, I go back to your roots with the Annapolis Capitol and coverage. How much has it changed in 20 years pre-Twitter, pre-instant news, pre-breaking news, where you had all night to get the paper out, at least in some terms, at the beginning of the century?
Well, it's funny you say 20 years. That's exactly how long I've been a professional journalist out of college. I graduated in 2000, so I have seen the entire evolution. I worked first out of college at a community newspaper in Anne Arundel County called the Maryland Gazette. We didn't even have a website at the time. If you wanted to look something up on the internet, you had to go into the conference room because that's the only computer that we had that had internet access. So even that was behind. So I've seen it go to, you know, building web pages, the mistake that publishers made of doing free websites, you know, giving the news away for free instead of making people pay for it. I've lived through the advent of social media, which is both a boon and a bane to my existence as a reporter. And I've also seen the decimation of our newsrooms. Something like half of all newspaper newsroom jobs have been lost since the Great Recession to now, and jobs are being shed even more with the pandemic and the economic downturn. So I started at the very end of the good days for newspapers and seen the, you know, economic struggle throughout my career.
Well, Don knows all I ever wanted to do from the minute I met him in 1982 was be a newspaper reporter. Right. And in the 1980s...
It's a great job. It's the best job, I tell you. I get to go out and get paid to meet people and to learn things and learn things about our government now. I used to be an environment reporter. I used to get paid to spend the day out crabbing with watermen. It's, you get to do such cool stuff and such important information and just to share it with everybody. It's very cool. I love this job, as hard as it is.
Well, the hardest part for me is you go to school for it in the modern era, and you know, I've spent most of my life trying to employ sports journalists, you know, to do what we do on the radio and on the web, that where the promise is of all of this with the furloughs and everything that you're going through. I mean, Don and I both have had many of your colleagues on and many people in the industry. It's all I've really done is try to talk to reporters because I think they're the smartest people I know, and they were the people I always wanted to be when I was a kid. Now I'm wondering who wants this gig where the president vilifies us as reporters and has really breached some trust with all of this.
I mean, I'll tell you what I tell college students when I go speak to journalism classes or student publications. I tell them that if you want to get into this business, you have to be absolutely deeply passionate about it to the point where you can't imagine doing anything else in your life. Like, you would die if not doing this. If you're the kind of person who thinks, oh, you know what, I'm, you know, I like talking on TV, I'd like to be on camera, that would be cool, that's not a good reason to get into journalism. Or to think, oh, I like writing. You can't just like writing or like being on TV. You have to be someone who wants to get that information, who wants to tell stories, who is obsessed with the news, who can't stop watching the news and reading the news. You have to have that deep passion. Otherwise, you'll just get eaten alive in this business. It's like too hard to do unless you are deeply passionate to your core.
Don, I like Pam Wood.
Oh, I thought that you might. I thought you might be kindred spirits. You know, we're going to call this because, it, again, what I love about Baltimore Positive, it is real time. Things happen. Pam's going to have to jump off here in a few minutes, because there's some breaking news that she's just alerted she has to go cover. And, Pam, I hope we can consider this part two and maybe have you back on even next week to pick up, because there's so many topics to talk about as we try to work around your schedule.
Of a journalist, man. News always happens.
Life of a journalist. Yeah, I want to take us behind the curtain a little bit and our listeners behind the curtain. I mean, because you truly are what I describe as a beat reporter. As you said, you were on the environmental beat, and then you were on the Baltimore County beat, and now you're the Sun's State House reporter. Give our listeners a sense of how your day evolves and who decides what you're going to cover on that given day and what you're going to write about. So when you go to bed the night before, do you know what's happening the next day, or do you have to wait until an editor calls you? Give us a sense of how it works.
Sure. So I'm the State House reporter, currently the only State House reporter. Hopefully I'll get a partner again soon. So I'm responsible for covering the governor and the General Assembly largely. I also cover state agencies, you know, different departments within the state government. And I cover the government side, the policy, and the politics. So it looks a little different when the General Assembly is in session. I'm down in Annapolis every day watching their floor sessions, the committee meetings, press conferences, you know, what legislation is coming, what's going to pass, what's not going to pass. Is the governor going to get anything he wants passed? Probably not, is the answer usually. The negotiations, you know, who's influencing bills. These days with the pandemic, it's pandemic all the time. So it's heavy on the governor right now. What's the governor doing? What restrictions are we putting in? Are we taking out? What's happening with the state budget? Are there going to be employee layoffs? You know, what's going to get cut? So I do a lot of time talking with my sources. I talk regularly. Don, you know this. You know, the equivalent of, you know, your role to county executive candidates, you know, the chief of staff and the chief spokesperson for the governor's office. the House of Delegates Speaker's office, the Senate President's office, I'm talking to the committee chair people or lawmakers who are focused on certain issues, who are, have specialties in certain issues. Like there's, you know, some who are really good with guns, some who are big on the environment, some big on transportation. And whatever the news is, I'm always texting and calling to try and figure out, like, what's going to happen next. And I use those conversations to develop my story ideas. And most of those ideas are mine. I do sometimes get assigned things from my editor, and sometimes I'll go to my editor with three or four ideas and kind of hash it out with her and get her input, and we decide which ones to pursue. And then other stories are things that just happen. The governor has a press conference and makes an announcement, and, you know, that's just news. The newsmaker dictates the news sometimes. So it's a mix of my ideas, my editor's ideas, and just news that's very obvious. And I don't get, you know, commands from on high. There's no executive at Tribune Publishing telling me what to do. There's no, you know, left-wing media elite conspiracy. I don't get an email.
I love how they think we all get together around midnight and have our secret meeting so we wake up with the game plan every morning.
I mean, if that's happening, I'm not getting invited to the meeting. So, you know,
I'm asleep.
I said, Pam, that's I tell people over and over on this forum and others, the thought that there's some kind of conspiracy among reporters to promote a left-wing agenda is, it, to me, just one of the most ridiculous assertions ever made. And again, weigh in on this. I tell people after, and if I take my school system side, where I also was the assistant superintendent for communications, probably 30 years of working with the media, I said the only bias, and I don't even know if bias is the right word, Pam, so you'll correct me, that I see reporters having is that reporters have a healthy skepticism of power and those in power. Mm-hmm. They don't care whether it's Democrat, Republican, or independent. Their instinct says that those in power are probably going to guard the truth pretty closely, and sometime they're going to have to dig beyond the obvious answer to really get down and dirty as to what's happening. I said, that's their bias. It's not about left-wing, right-wing, center. I mean, how do you, am I right or am I wrong about that?
No, you're absolutely spot on. That's it. The old joke is for a journalist that if your mother tells you she loves you, you should check it out. But it is true. It is skepticism of everything. That's my job, is to, you know, see what the holes are, so we know what the pros and the cons are, so that we can get all that information out to our readers. So that is the bias we have. Is, yeah, an inherent. That's our job.
But seeking confirmation also it requires trust and integrity on the other side. And to your point, I have been at conferences where I've been lied to. Once I've been lied to, and this probably speaks to my childhood and probably get me on the phone with Mueller's sister quicker. Well, you know, once you're lied to and the trust is gone, as a reporter, it's very, very hard to ever trust again and not retrack it three or four more times to make sure that I'm not being lied to again, which is probably no different than any normal relationship we have, right?
Well, I don't think and Pam, you can weigh in on this, and that's, you've heard me say it, and every department head in Baltimore County, I believe, would confirm this. They've heard me say it. They heard me say it over and over again. Guys, you don't get two lies. If I were ever to go to a reporter and lie once, you have to understand my word will never matter. You can't lie to people. Because you don't get a do-over. Accurate, Pam?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. And if you look at, again, to the White House, the latest press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, you know, her first day she gets up there and says, I'll never lie to you. And then 5 minutes later, she's lying to the reporters and, you know, easily fact-checked. And so who has trust with what's coming out of not just her, but that institution? It just really erodes the trust that anybody has. The
reporters. Well, fact-checking is what we do. You just said fact-check, right? Like, mm-hmm. Fact-check used to mean something. Fact-check used to mean, like, you know, you're full of malarkey, as Joe Biden would say, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing that we do is, you know, we look and say, well, are they telling it the way it really happened? Like, let's see, what are the documents? What are the other people who were in the room when it happened? You know, what actually is the history here? Because, and sometimes it's purposeful. Sometimes it's just human nature that we sort of embellish things over time. So that's
Pam,
a big thing.
Pam, I know you have to jump in about 2 or 3 minutes. And as I said, this is going to be Pam Wood one, because we haven't even touched the surface of the major state issues, and I really want to get you to do that. But in Pam Wood one here, I can't let you go without just giving us a quick update on Save the Sun. You've been very involved, and for those who read you, nothing has been more appalling to me over the past couple of months when you say, I'm sorry, I can't report today because I'm on furlough. It makes me insane that's the attitude toward journalism by the Trib. So give us, as you jump out of here, give us a quick update on Save the Sun.
Well, Don, thank you for bringing up this topic. This is something I'm certainly passionate about. For listeners who may not be familiar, the Baltimore Sun is part of a chain called Tribune Publishing that owns newspapers in several cities. And we are very concerned about the future of the company. It is currently 32% owned by a company named Alden Global Capital. They're a hedge fund that has a track record of investing in and buying newspapers, slashing them to the bone, bleeding them dry and sucking out all the profits and basically leaving them for dead. There was a beautiful and very sad story in the New York Times last week about the Pottstown Mercury that I highly encourage anybody to read about how they have killed that newspaper that has one reporter left. So we are hoping, we being the Baltimore Sun News Guild, our union, we are trying to convince the Tribune to sell the Baltimore Sun. We are working with the Abel Foundation and the Goldsecker Foundation and some sort of movers and shakers in Baltimore. They will come up with the money to buy the Sun and turn us into a nonprofit news organization. And we believe that by removing the profit motive, we can, you know, go forward and invest in the journalism instead of lining the pockets of super rich people who don't care about journalism. So we have a website at SaveOurBaltimoreSun.com. We're on the socials, on all the socials at Save Our Sun, but SaveOurBaltimoreSun.com, trying to convince Tribune to sell us so that we can avoid these furloughs we've had, these pay cuts we've had. It breaks my heart that I have to sit at home for a week at a time, and I can't even check my email. I can't even check my phone. I can't participate in the news at all because I'm not being paid. And our readers are losing out by repeatedly having our politics reporters, our health reporter, our education reporter. These are all big news items now, and we are totally being hamstrung in our news efforts. So I really encourage people to go to SaveOurBaltimoreSun.com to check out our campaign and sign up for updates and be part of this movement.
Pam, we're going to talk Kerwin. We'll get on all that sometime very, very soon. We know you have to jump out, but we're glad we at least got to save our Baltimore Sun part of this in. I can't begin to tell you, all my childhood, all I've ever wanted to do is be a writer, and the significance of the work you guys do and you know, keeping the community aware of what's going on. So we appreciate you, and we'll see you soon, okay?
All right. Thank you so much for having me. I look forward to coming back.
Thanks, Pam. We'll get you soon.